All right, for the readers out there and for the USFL fans that are out there, I've recommended it before. I'll recommend it again. The book Football for a Buck, The Crazy Rise and Crazier Demise of the USFL, is a fantastic read. And the author of that book, Jeff Perlman, joins us now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Jeff, at long last, we got you.
I like how, I was going to say for the USFL fans out there, and there's like, seven people are standing in a corner going like, yay.
That's not true. You know, from the reaction you've got to this book, you know that's not necessarily true.
I would actually disagree with you. I think, I keep telling people, I've had multiple interviewers say, so why do you think people are so fascinated by the USFL? And I'm always just being honest. I'm like, they're not. You have to convince them that they should be, because the story is amazing and fascinating and riveting and absolutely off the wall insane. But it's not like there were a million people clamoring for, when's that USFL book coming along? I just don't get that.
Well, Jeff, and look, I've dug your work for many, many years, and I apologize for my partner stalking you, but he's a USFL groupie, and he actually went out and bought it. He didn't wait for an advance copy to roll into his desk like the rest of us would do. He went out and bought it, my brother.
Nice.
There you go.
I thought I saw him lurking outside my bushes 2 nights ago, seeing if I have any Arizona Wrangler gear hanging out off the laundry line.
Yeah. I haven't finished it yet. I'm right in the middle of the San Antonio Gunslingers chapter, and I love the way you preface that could be a book unto itself. And I know Rick Neuheisel's told some of the stories, but just going back to the origin of this, and I love the preface of your book, the way you set it up, going back to your school days. How long exactly did you have to fight to get this book written? Because the reaction was, we don't want this.
It was about 9 years when I first came up with the idea and started pitching it. And, you know, is this rejection? No. My agent, who's great, but he said, I was like, what about the USFL book? And he said, very bluntly, nobody wants an effing USFL book. And so what happened is, 4 years ago, I pitched a Brett Favre biography, and I had a couple of bidders on it. And I said to Houghton Mifflin, a publishing house, I said, I will do Favre for less if you let me do a USFL book. And that's how I got the deal.
Oh, is that right? Well, that's pretty
cool. I got very little money for this book.
I know you've said that, too. And just judging from what was out there years ago on another radio show at another station, we used to have John Feinstein on as a guest. Mm-hmm. And he was always churning out, you know, 2-3 books a year, it seemed. And he actually asked us, you know, tongue-in-cheek, what's the next book I should write? And I said, and this is probably the early 2000s, Jeff, I said, you should write a USFL book. And he laughed at me on the air.
Feinstein. That guy, no.
All right, so why don't we do this, Jeff, in advance of this? Because Vinny is, you know, like I said, he's a USFL dork, and he loves it. But if you were going to paint a picture of just how renegade, how crazy, how weird, how wild, the stories, the Trump influence, all of it, why don't you tell our listeners right now what that league is and why you felt so compelled to write that book?
Wait, I'll tell you what. Let's try something totally different. I'm not kidding. We have not talked before this. Give me a number, and I will run off that many crazy USFL stories, very abridged, right now, back to back to back.
5.
Okay. San Antonio Gunslingers had a player they put on the injured list because he slammed his in a trunk, and they put him on the injured list with a strained groin, but he actually slammed his in a trunk. Number 2. The LA Express had a defensive lineman named Greg Fields. He was cut by the team, punched the coach in the face. Then he started calling in death threats to the team. The team had to hire Liberace's bodyguard away from Liberace to protect the coach. Then Greg Fields starts showing up at practices, threatening death on the coach. And because the USFL is the USFL, he's signed as a free agent by the San Antonio Gunslingers. And the Gunslingers stopped paying their players. So one day he follows the owner home with a baseball bat in his car. When the guy reaches his house, he comes out with a bat and says, you better pay me. The owner comes out and pays him $17,000 in cash, and he drives off, never to be seen again. All right, that's number 2. Number 3, the Boston Breakers, when they were first sort of brought to life, they signed Dave Remington, the Outland Trophy winner out of Nebraska. And they were really excited because, you know, this is a big signing for them. They reached an agreement over the phone with him directly. They went to Logan Airport to pick him up, and he didn't show up. And it turns out that someone was pretending to be Dave Remington, but it wasn't actually him. And the guy they thought was showing up at the airport didn't exist. Number four, George Allen was the coach of the Chicago Blitz, a legendary George Allen. And their opening game, the first game in USFL history, was the Chicago Blitz visiting the Washington Federals. And in the lead up to the game, George Allen had two of his assistants. He got them USFL league windbreakers, gave them video cameras, sent them to the Washington Federals training camp. Practices, had them pretend they were working as part of the film crew from the league, videotaped all their practices, brought the tape back to the Chicago Blitz. They knew every play the Washington Federals were going to run in the lead up to the first game. So they killed the Federals because they had videotape of all the plays they were going to run because they lied and said they were part of the USFL film crew. And number five, Jim Kelly, famous Jim Kelly, Hall of Fame quarterback, was he was drafted in that 1983 quarterback class with six QBs in the first round. And he told the Buffalo Bills, don't draft me. But the Bills drafted him. And he was really pissed off, but he was resigned. He was going to have to play in Buffalo. So he shows up with his agent at the Bills' offices to sign the contract. And George Allen, who was the GM, George Allen's son, who was the GM of the Chicago Blitz, found out that they were going to be there. And he called the offices of the Buffalo Bills and said he was Jim Kelly's agent's brother-in-law. And could he put him on the line? They were having a family emergency. And he gets the agent on the phone and says, listen, this is Bruce Allen from the USFL. We know Jim doesn't want to sign in Buffalo. You know he doesn't want to play in Buffalo. Get him out of there. We'll make him happy. 2 weeks later, he became a Houston Gambler.
Wow. Jeff Perlman, the
author I wish I would have said 10.
Yeah, he could have said 10. He would have rattled him off.
I would have.
The name of the book is Football for a Buck, The Crazy Rise and Crazier Demise of the USFL. And you just told five great stories that are told in the book. But there's obviously a big Donald Trump influence on this book because of the influence he had on the USFL. And I remember the USFL documentary that came out in 30 for 30, Small Potatoes, and he kind of participated but didn't really participate. I have to assume you tried to get to some Trump people to talk, if not himself, and what was the resistance you got there?
Well, he wouldn't talk. And yeah. I ended up, he was running for president at the time, so why would you bring up one of the worst sort of moments of your career? I got a lot of generals people to talk. And the funny thing, so Trump owned the New Jersey Generals, and the funny thing about Trump is he did ruin the USFL. He truly did, for selfish reasons. And it's well documented, and it's not fictional, and it's not political. He ruined the league. As an owner hyper-specific to the Generals, he was awesome. He paid his players, which was somewhat unusual in that league. He brought in big-name guys from the NFL, from Gary Barbro and Jim LeClair, and guys you may not remember now, Brian Sipe, tried signing Lawrence Taylor. Almost got Don Shula to leave the Dolphins, tried signing Randy White, tried signing Mark Gastineau, tried signing Warren Moon, like went after big guys, always paid, traveled first class, because he wanted an NFL franchise. So when you talk to people specifically with that team, I wouldn't say they love him, but they don't have anything bad to say about him as an owner.
Jeff Perlman, our guest, author of the book Football for a Buck, The Crazy Rise and Crazier Demise of the USFL. For people that don't know, and some people do know the story, the way this shook out was there was an antitrust lawsuit against the NFL. The USFL actually wins that, and they're awarded $1 in damages. So their whole plan to move to the fall to compete to the NFL with the NFL head-to-head falls through. The league closes up shop. In your mind, Jeff, had they won that lawsuit and got something commensurate to what the damages actually were in that award, how long do you think they last going head-to-head against the NFL?
All right, so let's say they actually won the case and got the $1.3 billion. We'll just say they got, whatever, $500 million, we'll just say, and sort of reduced. I think they're merged into the NFL very quickly, if that's how it went. Because they had a team in Jacksonville way before the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. They had a team in Oakland after the Raiders left. They had a team in Baltimore after the Colts left. They had a team in Tennessee way before the Titans arrived. And they had a team in Birmingham that drew very well.
And a team here in Arizona before the Cardinals moved.
Yeah, it's a fair point. That organization was a little bit of a disaster.
Yeah.
It was because it started as the Wranglers. Then the Wranglers folded, and it became the Arizona Outlaws with Frank Cush as coach and Doug Williams, and it was a whole mess. But, the funny thing is, it's really interesting, is so I do resent, as a guy who loved the league, as you clearly, I resent Donald Trump for killing that league. However, I don't think his idea that he could have wound up with a New York franchise was preposterous. I think the way he went about it was borderline mentally impaired. But I think the idea that the Jets had just moved to New Jersey, Shea Stadium was vacant. Mm-hmm. There were rumblings about Manhattan building a stadium. I don't think it was a preposterous idea, and I could have seen if the USFL won that suit, his team being absorbed into the league, possibly.
All right, Jeff, one of the things I love about all your books is just the amount of research and the phone calls that you put into them. You also put a lot of research into a story on the Sports by Brooks guy. Now, you may not want to talk about this, but he just resurfaced out of the blue with a tweet. And
kind of.
Willy Wonka, whatever. This cat, we even had him on the radio once, and I got into it with him over. So he was a strange dude. Whatever happened to that story? Is it just a humane gesture that you decided to spike it? Can you give us an update on that in terms of the context of what we just saw on Twitter?
Yeah, so I wrote it about 2 years ago, maybe, for Bleacher Report, that I was assigned the story. I was not a big Sports by Brooks reader, but I was assigned the story, and it was kind of this mystery because it was this guy who, you know, was really on the cutting edge of sports blogs. Before Deadspin became huge, you know, before sort of these different sports blogs became huge, he was the guy. Mm-hmm. And then one day he vanished. So that was the story. And my sort of thing was I was going to find him because nobody could find him. And I tracked him down, or tracked different addresses and went to different places. I knocked on the door where his roommate answered and pretended not to know him. And I didn't realize it was his former roommate at the time. I mean, all sorts of crazy. I hired a private investigator who traced him to different locations. And what I ended up deciding, I wrote the story, and what I sort of ended up deciding is it was a mental health issue. And my editor at Bleacher Report, a guy named Matt Sullivan, decided he did not want to take advantage of someone who was, might have been suffering from I'm not saying this is specifically what it was, but a sort of mental health episode of some sort or you know, struggle of some sort. And the story was killed. And I was upset at first because I thought it was a really compelling story and I busted my butt on that thing. I think in hindsight, it was probably the right decision. So I was tempted for a while. Maybe I could run it somewhere else or blah, blah, blah. But then to ease that temptation, I just deleted the thing altogether. So I don't even have it anymore.
That's what I was going to say. If he resurfaces and he's okay now, would we ever see that story? But you just answered that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I sent out an email to someone. I'm sure it exists in my inbox somewhere, you know.
But I
don't know. You know, it's kind of the truth of the matter is, as you get older and you do this longer, I look back at my career and I think sometimes when I was younger, I was unnecessarily harsh. Or you're unnecessarily cutting, maybe because you're trying to prove yourself, or you just don't have the empathy that you get when you're older.
Me too.
I'm not trying to ruin someone's life who's having real struggles. You know?
Yeah, it's well said. Yeah, that's and I agree with your sentiments exactly.
Well, Jeff, it was great to talk to you. Thank you on behalf of the seven USFL freaks that are out there like myself. Thank you for writing this book. It's fantastic. I highly recommend it.
And please, seriously, stop lurking outside my bushes.
I will. Now that you've been on the show, I'll leave you alone.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it. Jeff Perlman, he's the author of the book, Football for a Buck, The Crazy Rise, Crazier Demise of the USFL. He was our guest on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. That's CoulterTempe.com, CoulterOnCamelback.com, and CoulterNissan.com.